But Father, I truly do thank you for all that came out to sit in your presence, to be fed fresh manna from heaven, to join your faith with all the others, that we might become one in you. And Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I just ask you to supply each and every need here this day. Let the abundance overflow, Father. And Father, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, God really does want to bless us right now. Not in a year from now, not in 2 months from now, but right now he wants to bless us. And the sooner we can get that in our spirit, the better off we'll be. And he's been telling us he wants to bless us during this month of December. So, are you going to receive your blessing or are you not? Each of you have to decide, well, I am or I am not. Amen. God wants to speak on his love, crossing over in storms. How many of you are going through storms that you never thought you'd ever go through? Even in your thought life, you're just storm after storm after storm. I want you to know that God is in that storm with you, and he is seeing you through that storm. You're not in there alone. And maybe you're asking yourself these questions. Why are there so many storms in my life right now? Why are there so many storms in my life right now? God, why did you let this happen to me? But Philippians 4:13 tells us, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Why are there so many storms in my life right now? I know that that's a word that's resounding over and over and over again, or God wouldn't be talking about it. Storms in life. Are you going under with storms, circumstances, and accidents? Are you going under with storms, circumstances, accidents? We need to remember that Jonah overcame the storm. Paul endured the storm and used it. Jesus taught us to take dominion over the storm. Jonah overcame the storm. Paul endured the storm and used it. Jesus taught us to take dominion over the storm. We don't need to worry about the storm. We need to be concerned about which boat we are in. All right. When Paul was shipwrecked, what did he do? And in Acts 27:23 tells us, Paul says, last night an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve stood beside me. See what Paul said? An angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve. Paul knew to whom he belonged and whom he served. This is what you have to know this morning. You need to know to whom you belong and to whom you serve. He said, stood beside me, the angel did, and said, do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar, and God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. So keep up your courage, men, excuse me, for I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me. Nevertheless, we must run aground on some island. So what did the angel tell him? Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar, so therefore he's going to get through this storm, and because he has to get on ground sometime. And God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. In other words, God was not only going to save Paul, he was going to save everybody else on the ship. You see, sometimes when we're in a storm, we have others in the storm with us, and all we pray for is, God, get me out of the storm. I don't care about these others, but get me out of the storm. When in reality, we need to be praying, God, get all of us out of the storm. Protect us. In verse 25, Paul kept his faith. So my question was, when Paul was shipwrecked, what did he do? He kept his faith and encourage those around about him. See, when we get into a storm, all we do is moan, groan, and complain, and we whine and we whine, when that means we haven't kept our faith. So Paul kept his faith and encouraged those around about him. This is the problem in the body of Christ. We don't keep our faith and we don't encourage anybody around about us. Instead, we're always complaining about what's going on in our lives, and then we're wondering why we can't get others to come into the house of God. They don't need that. They already have that in their life. The Bible tells us a lot about a lot of different storms. In Nahum 1:3, the Lord has his way in the whirlwind. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power, and will not at all acquit the wicked. The Lord has his way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet. So when you're in that storm, God is having his way in your life. And what you need to do is just trust God, and knowing that he allowed you to go through that storm, and therefore he's going to bring you through that storm, maybe not unscathed, but you have learned a lesson while you're in that storm. Hopefully, your integrity has grown and you have grown stronger in your faith. 2 Kings 2:11, Elijah went into heaven in a whirlwind. Then it happened as they continued, this was Elijah and Elijah were walking, as they continued on and talked, that suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire and separated two of them, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. God had control of that whirlwind, and God went down and picked up Elijah and brought him on up into heaven in a whirlwind. And Job 38:1, God spoke to Job in a whirlwind. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, are you listening here? Peace centers within the storm where God dwells. When you're in a storm, peace centers within the storm where God dwells. You need to understand that God lives in the storms of your life. If the cyclone of life intensifies, we must go deeper into the tranquil center of him. In other words, if the storm keeps getting stronger and stronger and stronger, we need to go deeper and deeper into God. And God's been calling us to go deep into him. And it just could be that God sent a storm your way so that you would go deeper in him. And you're praying the storm stops and God makes the storm stronger. Why does he do that? To drive you deeper into him and trust more and more in him than instead of yourself. In Ezekiel 1:28, Ezekiel describes the appearance and the likeness of the glory of the Lord. He speaks of wind, clouds, and fire. Prophets compared the day of the Lord to a storm. Meteorologists referred to the center of the storm as the eye. All right, Ezekiel describes the appearance and the likeness of the glory of the Lord. He speaks of wind, clouds, and fire in Ezekiel 1:28. Prophets compared the day of the Lord to a storm, and meteorologists referred to the center of the storm as the eye. So Matthew 6:22 says, the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Without focus, everything blurs and we lose direction. Without focus, everything blurs and we lose direction. When we become single-eyed, we move into clarity with God. When we become single-eyed, one time God told me to get into the eye of the storm and stay there. I was just going through one storm after another, and I was crying out to God. He said, you get into the eye of the storm and stay there. Where was the eye of the storm? In the very center of his heart. And as you go into the eye of the storm, there is peace there, and the storm is not going to take you out, but the storm will build character in you, and it does strengthen your faith in God. So I'm telling you to get into the center of the storm, to the place of calm. Find that rest. The only place of rest is in the eye of the storm. You need to find that place of rest as you're going through these storms in life, because they're not going to stop. They're going to get bigger and bigger. as the world revolves and goes into things that we're going into. So you're going to have to learn today to run into God and get into the eye of the storm, into the very center of his heart, and stay there and find perfect peace, no matter what's going on around about you. Psalm 29 says, "Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. Yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. He maketh them also to skip like a calf, Lebanon and Syrian like a young unicorn. The voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. The Lord shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh." See all the things that his voice does? "The voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calve, and discovereth the forest, and in his temple doth everyone speak of his glory. The Lord sitteth upon the flood, yea, the Lord sitteth king forever. The Lord will give strength unto his people, the Lord will bless his people with peace." This is telling me, Psalm 29 is telling me that God is in total and complete control. And as we place our trust in him, we will survive every storm. I hear unscathed. And by unscathed, God is saying you'll have your peace and you'll have your faith and you won't have lost anything in him. God's saying the storms are going to come your way. It depends how you act in the storm, who you trust in, and what you purpose in your heart to learn from the storm. Along the way, there is always another storm to cross over. Always remember that the storm does not change our purpose. In fact, really and truly, if you think about it, the storm increases our purpose. The storm is all about taking us deeper into God. And he's been talking a lot about that to me, that these storms in life were not meant to take us out, but they were meant to take us deeper. And we all know the storms come in different varieties. Because we are riding and hit, well, all right, I said, along the way, there is always another storm to cross over. And always remember that the storm does not change our purpose because we are riding in his boat. Remember that all the disciples climbed into that one boat together. They were all in the same boat. Peter didn't have his little boat and John another. We cross over in a corporate boat. And sometimes in a church, all kind of things are happening to the church itself. And so everybody in the church is involved in the storm that's going on. And what this church has to do is to come into total and complete unity until the storm passes. The same thing happens in your household, in your workplace. When a storm comes, it just doesn't hit you. It involves everybody around about you. All right? God leads us upon his holy waters, from where we are to where he wants us to go, from the unknown to the unfamiliar places of the unknown. So God leads us upon his waters, from where we are right now to where he wants us to go in the future, from the known, which we know now, to the unfamiliar places of the unknown. Remember, God told us not to get lost as we go into the unknown places, the unfamiliar places, the places we've never been to before. He's been telling us to stay strong in him and learn what he's trying to teach us. We are like the disciples on the stormy lake. We have wearied of contending with the dark waves of adversity. You're sick and tired of being sick and tired of everything that keeps going on and on and on, and it seems like there's no changes, right? But the one who calms every storm is teaching us to persevere. The waves may be over our head, but eventually every storm ends. Remember, wind and waves cannot move us from our course. Remember, the difficulties of life cannot move you from the course God has placed your feet upon. And in the daily word, he's been telling us that step by step, he wants us to stay connected with him. We need to realize that God causes us to go through the storms in order to fully deliver us from the narrow-minded grave of our own making. Say that again. We need to realize that God causes us to go through the storms in order to fully deliver us from the narrow-minded grave of our own making. If you won't broaden your horizons, God will make them broaden. God will place you in a storm and you're going to start seeing past your little view that you have. All right? The boat is our visible means of support. The boat is a vehicle of transition. My boat may be rocking, but it is God's bedchamber. Jesus slept while the storm raged. Remember there for a season, God kept saying, get back in the boat. Sometimes he said, get out of the boat. Sometimes he needed us to get out of the boat and do something for him. Other times we were drowning and he said, get into the boat. So God always uses the boat for me to tell me what to do and what not to do. Maybe some of you are sitting in that boat and you're comfortable and he's saying, get out of the boat. Walk on the water. You know, and some of you might be out there struggling, drowning. He's saying, get back in the boat of safety. Till you're ready to go out, get out of the boat. Unexpected incidents. In Mark 6:48, Jesus saw the disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. Jesus was about to pass by them. The disciples saw Jesus walk on water, but they could only see with their natural brain. Isn't that the way we are? Matthew 14:23. And after Jesus had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, it is a ghost. And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid. And if you're really listening when you're going through a storm, God is saying, be still. Peace, be still. It's going to be okay. And Peter answered Jesus, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you in the water. He said, come. So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when Peter saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, oh, you have little faith, why did you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. You know, this is what God is saying to us when we're in a storm. He's saying to you, oh, you of little faith, why are you doubting? Why don't you keep remembering that I'm in the storm with you? I caused the storm. And I knew you were going to be in that storm. And I got in that. God's often told me, daughter, I'm right here in this storm with you. I'm holding your hand. I'm walking through this storm with you. I will not leave you alone in this storm. He said, you can make it to the other side. Just keep holding my hand. In other words, keep looking into my eyes and my eyes only. Don't look at the circumstances around about you. Keep your eyes on me. I'm with you and you will come through this storm. All right? See, you have to trust God. You have to be sold totally and completely out to him. And as you're sold totally and completely out to him, then you won't fear any storm that comes your way because you'll know that he was the maker of the storm. And you'll know that he's promised never to leave us nor forsake us, and that he will be stay in that storm until it's ended. Like God told me one day, daughter, we can go around this mountain as many times as you want, but when you're ready to quit going around the mountain, then I'll be here for you. In other words, I was in a storm, and I wasn't having faith. I was fussing. And so God was telling me, as long as you fuss, you're going to keep going around this mountain, around in the storm. So when I stopped fussing, the storm ceased. Do you understand this? Even though the disciples had traveled with Jesus for quite a while now, they still didn't recognize him in the water. That always amazed me when I read that story. In fact, they literally screamed out in fear right in his face. Many of us are just like the disciples. Whenever the wind comes, we make rash judgments and form opinions that are incorrect. You can say amen, Brett. That's fine. He said very quiet, amen. All right, let's say that again. Many of us are just like the disciples. Whenever the wind comes, we make rash judgments and form opinions that are incorrect. This is why we need to keep our mouths closed and seek God's face until he tells us exactly what is going on, and then he tells us how to get through it, and then we proceed forward. We are called to live a life of conflict. Amen. We will have to overcome many stormy times. When the winds blow over our lives, are we ready? No, you're not. When the winds blow over our lives, we say, boy, I have faith that I'll remove mountain after mountain. But let a really bad storm come your way to test your faith and just see how much faith you really have. All right, you say, I'm a love sponge, and I can just love everybody. All right, so you said that, so now a storm's going to come your way, and your little love sponge, it's going to be tested, and just see how much love is really in that sponge. And you'll find out, hey, my love sponge is not full of love. It's half full or half empty, however you want to look at it. Amen? And I need to get more love in that sponge. You go around bragging about how much love you had. Get ready to go through a storm and be tested. John the Baptist was beheaded. Why? Question. If Herod were your king, would you change or adjust your message for him? So John the Baptist was beheaded. Why? Because he was speaking the truth. He was speaking the salvation message. All right, if Herod were your king, would you change or adjust your message for him? Would you start speaking a different message, or would you still speak the salvation message? Think about this. Stephen was stoned in Acts 7:54. When the members of the Sanhedrin heard this, they were furious and gnashed their teeth at him. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Look, Stephen said, I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. They were getting ready to stone the man. And he was saying, look up, the heavens are open, and I see Jesus. At this, they covered their ears and yelling at the top of their voices, they all rushed at him, dragged him out of the city and began to stone him. Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. While they were stoning Stephen prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. His dying prayer is what touched the heart of the Christian killer named Saul. Stephen did not fuss and moan and groan. First of all, he stayed in faith. Then Jesus let him see the open heavens. And then whenever he was being stoned, he just said, receive my spirit. He didn't say, do something with these people. He didn't say, why am I being stoned to death? All of his doing was preaching the salvation message. He asked God to receive his spirit. His dying prayer is what touched the heart of the Christian killer named Saul. See, you don't know who's watching you. And you don't know whose heart you're going to touch by your reaction to different things. So if I was you, I'd be getting really close to God and only speak what God is speaking and only doing what God is calling you forth to do. All right? Later, Paul was persecuted. Both of them preached a confrontational gospel. Opposition rose and threats came. Talking about Stephen and Paul. They sealed their convictions with death. They were killed because they opposed the storm of others and stood for what was right. Are you really willing to die for Jesus? Everybody's saying, yes, but I don't see your flesh dying. So if you can't kill your flesh, how are you going to die for Jesus? Amen? Come on. Come on. Who was it? Reinhard Bonnke died a couple of days ago. It wasn't a prophetic word say the two top evangelists would die and then the glory would hit, the great revival would hit. Well, you know, Billy Graham died, and now Reinhard Bonnke, and God has been saying, telling me that the revival's getting ready to hit. So where are you going to be at when it hits? Where is your faith going to be at? Who are you trusting in? Amen. God knows the why of storms even when we don't. A new power is in operation, the spirit of life in Christ. A strong wind suddenly clears the air and frees us from the hands of sin and death. In other words, the strong storm comes, and all of a sudden Jesus, he just shows up in all of his glory and majesty, blows his breath, and it all blows away, and there you stand free from that storm, a changed person. God never leaves you the same. You're always changed when you come out of a storm. Some for bad and some for good. Some people get upset when God puts them through a storm. And they curse God. But others just thank him that they didn't die in the storm, right? We cannot run without a message. And the message is that God is there in every storm and we can rest in them all. He calms a storm so that its waves are still. Come on, saints. Some of you are going through storms right now. You know, and storms vary in different ways. God is in that storm with you. There's a purpose for this storm. Are you listening? Come on. Psalm 107, verse 29, it says, Jesus stilled the storm to a whisper. The waves of the sea were hushed. You have to believe this morning that God can do that in your life. That he knows what you're going through and that he can take care of that thing. Doesn't matter how, I'm hearing him say, doesn't matter how devastating it is to you. It's not devastating to him. He has a plan and a purpose for this whole, what you call devastation. And he said, if you just lean into him, the strong tower, he will be there and he will be your sufficiency and he will hold your hand and you'll come through that storm stronger than when you went in it. No matter how strong the storm, we must hold onto faith and conscience. Jesus promised in Hebrews 13:5, never will I leave you and never will I forsake you. Remember, he is only a whisper away. That's all he is a whisper away. You don't have to shout and scream. How many of you have been so down and so depressed that all you can do is just barely get the words out of Jesus? He hears that. He sees that and he knows that. And really, you don't know how to pray anymore. You prayed every prayer you know to pray. And you're just sitting there crying and you just say, Jesus. And he comes on the scene immediately. Remember the story I told you when I first born again, I thought I had sinned and I really didn't. But I refused to talk to God for 3 days. And one day I got up and I looked out the window and without thinking, I saw God. I was going to say how beautiful the trees looked that day. I saw God. And he started laughing. He said, I waited 3 whole days to tell you something. God was waiting on me to talk to him. He wasn't going to come to me and say, you've got to talk to me. He says, I waited 3 whole days. I have to tell you something. I forgot what he told me. I was so upset that I didn't talk to him. So I'm telling you people, no matter what you're going through, take it to God. He's listening and he's waiting. And he wants to hear what you have to say. He loves you. He's not like a spouse or kids who want to make you pay for what you've done. He's not like that. He loves you, and he's just waiting for you to come and talk to him. 1 Timothy 1:18, this charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you. See that? He's talking about the prophecies he had before. That by them you may wage the good warfare, having faith and a good conscience, which some having rejected concerning the faith have suffered shipwreck. Storms lie between us and our destination. All right, let's get back here to 1 Timothy. Paul said, this charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you. You know, say he's saying, think about what God spoke to you. Then he says, that by them, by the prophets that were spoken to him, you may wage the good warfare. In other words, you remember what God spoke was going to happen in your life. So the storm you're going through in, you know that it has to pass because there's other things you have to do yet for God. Right? Then he said, having faith and a good conscience, which some having rejected concerning the faith have suffered shipwreck. If you lose your faith, you will suffer shipwreck. You really will. But if you'll just trust God and have faith in God, that's why you should always, and I'm going to be teaching about this tonight, about your prophetic word and what it means. But, you know, you always should be remembering what God prophesied over you. Because when these storms hit, and they do hit, and hit severely, you'll say, okay, Satan, you can't kill me here. You can make me feel uncomfortable. Because I know that I still have a lot of things to accomplish for the Father. And then you'll move on. And you'll do what God wants you to do. God lives in the storm and he rules there. God lives and rules in that storm. Peace reigns as king when you find rest in the center of the storm. Peace reigns as king when you find rest in the center of the storm. There's many of you in here today that you should be so engrafted in God that no storm should ever take you by surprise. No storm should ever take you out. No storm should ever make you doubt or fear. You've been with God so long that you should know by now that he is the one that caused the storm to happen. And because he caused it to happen, he already has the ending all figured out. And all you have to do is just walk with him. And just walk through that storm. And if you do that, you'll be surprised at what happens. All right? Today, speak to your heart, peace be still. Some of you are going through a storm right now today. You need to say, heart, peace be still. God knows what's going on in my life. And God has this thing all under control. And he always works it out for my good. I'm hearing God saying, for your benefit. God's also saying, you have to remember right now that the enemy is through in your life. That he's just throwing the last few barbs that he has to try to make you walk in doubt and unbelief. Don't allow him to do that. Today, speak to your heart, peace be still. God knows what to do. God, he knows where you are. He is right beside you and will take you through this next storm also. I just have to tell that you and my daughter went to court because she got caught driving without license and insurance. Not once, but three times. Once in Delaware, twice in Maryland. So when she went to court the other day, she said, this is a cakewalk. They're going to slap me on the hands and let me go. But the judge says, ma'am, he said, you did this over in Delaware too. And then twice here. See, they don't usually do that. And they said, well, three strikes, you're out, 6 days. She said, what? You know, she was all, you know, God told her, I'll be with you if you follow me, but she's not following him, so he didn't have to be with her. And when I prayed, when she left to go to court, I started praying. God said, she'll be fine. He didn't say she wasn't going to go to jail. He said, she'll be fine. But when she came home yesterday, she only spent 4 days. She said, I'm never going to drive without license again. She learned that lesson, but I hope she learned other lessons too. But see, she had no peace in her storm is what I'm trying to get at. But I was full of peace because God said she'd be okay. When I got the phone call saying they gave her 6 days, I said, what? And then I realized, well, God, you didn't say she wasn't going to go to jail. You said she'd be okay. So we, you know, we might think God means one thing when in reality he's telling you something else. But however you look at it, I had peace. And I said, well, God, there's a reason why you let this happen. So whatever it is. Then I found out when she got home, she wouldn't serve God and three strikes you're out if you drive without a license and no car insurance. So always remember that. Be of good cheer. You will have tribulation, but God is always with you. Be of good cheer. You will have tribulation, but God is always with you. You know, if you're really following God with every fiber of your being, the enemy has no place. He doesn't. He might come around, you know, and chide with you and try to make you think that he's something he is not. But you and yourself should know that greater is he that's in you than that devil that's running around you trying to cause all this confusion and conflict. Right? Come on. You know, y'all know my first husband's, he has liver cancer and he's living with us right now. And we're taking care of him. And last night I was decorating the Christmas tree and he came out into the living room where I was at, me and my daughter. And he sat there and talked and laughed. And then he went back into his room to go to sleep. And my daughter said, Mom, how can you do this? I said, how can I do what? And she said, sit here and laugh and talk. And you've been waiting on him hand and foot. And I said, we remained friends. And I'm glad we did so that you kids could spend his last days with you. And I said, it's no skin off my nose. You know, I made my peace years ago, and there's no sense losing my peace over it. Are you understanding this? You should be able to take your enemies into your household and feed them. You should. I want you to really think about this. And it shouldn't take you off course. Some of you, this is hitting home, isn't it? And you shouldn't be saying, God, why is this happening to me? And I'm going to tell the truth. I was against having him come into my home after all the bad things that went on. But, you know, the man needed somebody to watch over him, and he needed to be around his family. And I said, go ahead, you know. Go ahead. What does it hurt? Doesn't hurt anything, does it? You know, just give. Give of yourself. Open up your heart, open up your home, open up your eyes, and understand and see what God is doing through this whole thing. This has helped me. It's helped me see I don't have any animosity, that, you know, nothing bothers me. Because I often wondered, what would I do if I really had to confront things? I'm fine. My slate's clear. See, this whole thing was for my benefit, I believe. How about you? You have to start thinking about this when you're going through hard times. Is this for my benefit? Is God having you check out your heart to see where you're coming from? All right. What if somebody's to walk into, what if somebody's to walk into your street ministry, Mark, and take your street ministry away from you? Where would your heart be? You know, would that be all right with you? Or would you say, God, this isn't right? You know, we have to think of every area of our life. I don't care what it is. Well, is the pastor mad at me or is she not? Pray that she's not mad at me and doesn't cut my head off. You know, come on. Be at peace in all things. That's what God, this is all about. God wants us to walk in perfect peace. And I'm hearing him saying perfect understanding that storms have to come into your life for God to use them to change and rearrange things in you that are not of him. whenever God told me one day, he said, you are now going under the curse. I did not know the fullness of what that meant. And when I was halfway under the curse, I said, God, this can't be. I'm your child. And he said, therefore, I can do anything I want to with you, right? So he took me from the blessing to the curse right down, just like he did Job, right down to the bottom. But he was with me in the whole thing. I'm telling you this so you understand that just because you're a child of God does not mean you're not going to go through hard times. It does not mean that people aren't going to take advantage of you. But it does mean that God is with you and you can overcome any storm that comes your way. Any storm. If your mind is stayed upon him, is what I'm hearing him say. John 16:32 says, look, Jesus is speaking, look, an hour is coming and has already come when you will be scattered. He's talking to his disciples. Each to his own home, and you will leave me all alone. Isn't that what happened? Jesus said, yet I am not alone because the Father is with me. See, Jesus knew that it didn't matter who left him. He still had his Father. Jesus said, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace in the world. You will have tribulation, but in him you'll have peace. But in the world you're going to have tribulation. But take courage, I have overcome the world. So when tribulations befall you, are you going to remember that Jesus gives you peace and that he has overcome the world? Or are you going to get all messed up, befuddled, and start blaming God, start questioning why you have to go through these things? You know, some of you just, I'm hearing God say, some of you just don't translate God's word the proper way. You look at it and you confuse it and you mix it up, and therefore you are confused and you're mixed up because you don't know the true reality of what is really going on in your life. And he said, there's many crossroads that you're going to come to, and you're going to have to know which way to go. And the only way you're going to go know which way to go is if you see God's face.